Welcome to the Grace for This City podcast. We're helping you turn your city upside down. Hey, I'm your host, Justin Goff. Stay tuned. We got a great show for you today. All right. Hey, and you are tuning in this morning to the Grace for This City podcast, and we're helping you turn your city upside down. How are we doing that? We're giving you biblical strategies and motivation to get out there and get stuff done for your king. That's King Jesus, that is. And don't you know that he's got a mission and a plan, and he's wanting to recruit you. Praise the Lord. So thanks for tuning in today. Hey, we have a special episode planned for you today. I'm joined in the studio by a good friend of mine, Brandon Brim. Good to have you, brother.
Yes, thank you. What an honor to be on the podcast. I'm excited about today. I think it's going to be special. People are going to be helped. And that's exactly what you said. You know, the king's called us and given us strategies, especially in these days that we are living in.
Amen. Amen. Well, brother, we're glad you are here. So, hey, share the podcast with somebody that you love. I was thinking about this earlier. Share it with somebody you don't love. Hallelujah. Maybe something today that the Lord has is going to turn a situation for you. Hallelujah. There's something strategic. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Something strategic. You needed the nugget, the wisdom, the insight that you're going to get today. And I think you'll see that by the end of the podcast. Hallelujah. I love this, brother. And I know that the Lord has something. I just know the flow. I know the Holy Ghost flow that Brandon walks in. So I know the Lord's got something specific for you today. Thanks for tuning in to the podcast. Hey, so we're going to talk about several things. And I was thinking about this, that we've been talking about on the podcast. Go back in the archives, specifically the ones with Miranda. Those are the ones we've really jumped in. We've kind of dove into talking about prayer. And recently the Lord said something. And the Lord showed me something, Brandon, from that passage where Jesus is, he asked the disciples to come pray, and he's praying, but they fell asleep.
Yes.
And he said something, and it just, something just leapt out of that into my spirit, but he said, stay up with me.
Yeah.
He said, stay up with me. And I heard the Lord say this, not audibly, but the Lord said this, that's what I'm telling people right now. That's what I'm telling my body right now, to stay up with me. And then the Lord said this, how are you going to stay up with me? You're going to stay up with me in prayer. Stay up with him. Stay in the know, friends. How are you going to stay up with him? How are you going to stay up with Jesus? Keep up. You understand
that's
the play
so
on,
yeah,
on,
exactly.
On, on
yeah,
words
keep
there.
Up with him.
How are you going to keep up? Stay up with him?
Yeah.
You're going to keep up with him. You're going to stay in the know through prayer.
That's so good.
And, many years ago, Leanne Sosby.
Yes, yes.
Many years ago, she was going to be at this church in a town about an hour away from where our studios are. And my wife and I just really felt like we needed to go and be in those meetings.
Yes.
And so here we go, and, you know, we had a couple little kids with us. So, you know, we were running a little bit late. And, of course, Brandon, you've got a beautiful new addition to your family, right?
Yes,
right?
4 months old, and I know what you're saying. I can agree with what
can
you're saying.
Can you relate with
yes,
me?
I
you
can
know what I mean?
I can relate, yes.
You know, you used to always get to places on time. Hallelujah. And the Lord's helping us, I believe in being on time. But anyway, so, you know, we were running late. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So we get there, we get in, we go in the back, and, man, as soon as I sat down, God, even though we were late, God's timing is perfect. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And so we sit down, and the first thing I hear, you know what I mean? I sit down, and I tune in, and the first thing I hear is Miss Leanne, powerful prayer warrior, worked with Brother Hagen, Brother Hagen's ministry, Rhema, there in Tulsa, led prayer in healing school forever, and or many years. Powerful woman of prayer, powerful ministry. But as soon as I sat down and I tuned in, here's what the Holy Spirit said through her. The prayers know what Holy Spirit is doing. The prayers know what Holy Spirit is doing. That's what Holy Spirit said through her. And at that time, the Lord was really drawing me into a place. He was beginning to work in me about staying up with him in prayer. And what the Lord was saying was, if you want to stay in the know, stay in the place of prayer. And the prayers, okay, those who have given themselves to prayer, those are the ones that are getting some, I mean, hot off the press, if you want to call it that. They are in the know of what's going on in the spirit realm. And Brandon, you know this, I know this, and I'm going to give it to you here in just a second to kind of, you know, just go with what the Holy Spirit's doing. But it's not just a special call. It's not a special place for only a few people to come right into a place of prayer. He's literally saying, come up here with me. Come, stay up with me on that side of the play on words. He's saying, come on, wake up out of your slumber. Get in the game. Stay up with me. And then stay up, stay with me, stay in the know by staying in the place of prayer. What's the Lord saying about that?
That's so powerful, and that's the key. Like you said, it's not just a select call for a few ladies to meet on a Tuesday night, you know, to be the prayer warriors. I grew up, you know, my family, they're real involved in prayer, and I've been to, even since I was a little boy, I've been to a lot of prayer meetings. Mm-hmm. And I would notice something. There was hardly any guys.
Oh, come on.
And I would see all these wow ladies. I would see, and I would be around them. I'm thinking of one in particular, and you could sense the power of God on her. And it was very common for her to stay up every night, almost all night long, and pray. Mm. She would pray till about 7 in the morning, go to sleep, and wake up about 10 in the morning, and then just start her day.
Wow.
A woman of prayer, a woman of the Spirit. And I would go to these prayer meetings. I would see all these ladies, and I would think, what about guys? What about even younger people?
Mm-hmm.
And I saw how the enemy, and I saw that the power that they walked in, these people of prayer, and they knew what Holy Spirit was saying. They knew what Holy Spirit was doing. It was a type of thing where you bring in someone to the service, to the prayer service, and then if they were not living right, if they were bound up with whatever it was going to get called out.
Wow.
They were going to get prayed for. Because they knew. And I saw, wow, there needs to be more guys. It's not just for ladies. There needs to be guys that need to be prayer warriors or young
people. Hallelujah.
And I feel like it's a way the enemy tried to, you know, he's a deceiver.
Yeah.
And I think he tried to deceive it, say, oh, that's just what ladies do. But no, it's all of us. Jesus was a man of prayer. And that scripture you're talking about, when, you know, the most crucial time in Jesus' life, and the guys that were with him, his disciples, he said, hey, can you please stay up with me? And they couldn't.
Yeah.
And Jesus makes
a little sleepy.
They were sleepy. And we've all been there.
Yeah.
We've all been there. There's been times, you know, we've been in our bed and we know the Holy Spirit saying, hey, get up and pray.
Oh, come on.
And we don't
read my mail, Brandon.
Yeah. Or, you know, I've had it before where I always say when I go to sleep, I say, Holy Spirit, wake me up whenever you want to wake me up.
Yeah.
And I'll pray. Wow. And I've had it where I've woke up wide awake at 4 o'clock in the morning. And you know what I'll do, Pastor Justin? I'll go back to sleep sometimes.
Sure.
I'm not even tired, but I make myself go back to sleep.
Yeah.
Because my mind says, oh, you have to get up at 7. You have to get up at 8. You have a long day ahead of you. But literally, I wasn't even tired. Literally, Holy Spirit woke me up.
That happens.
And Jesus says, you know, your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. And I always think about it this way. You know, people talk about their flesh is weak. They have girl problems. They have money problems. I mean, they do things that's not right, and that's flesh. That's not right. But Jesus was talking about their sleeping there. Their flesh was weak because they were sleeping when they should have been awake praying with Jesus.
Wow. Wow.
So I know the Holy Spirit, especially in these times, it's not just for ladies. It's not just for a certain group of people that are called. You know, you hear people, oh, she's a person of prayer. She's called to prayer. Hey, all of us are called to prayer.
That's it.
Don't get it twisted. You know, prayer is your communication with God. If you look up with all the powerful men and women of God, and God's used them, and you hear stories of miracles, signs, and wonders, if you look at their life, they prayed a lot. Mm-hmm. They spent time in prayer. It didn't just happen. Mm-hmm. They were people of prayer. It's not just about getting your little sermons.
Mm. Mm.
You know, maybe reading your favorite scripture and say, oh, there's 3 to 4 points here. I'm going to point this out. Yeah. No, it's having that lifestyle prayer. You, as a minister, as a pastor, you having that communication with the Father and the Holy Spirit, and you're praying and spending time, and he'll say, hey, talk about this. Mm-hmm. But I think that's what he's calling all of us, is to be people of prayer. It's not just for one people. It's all of us.
Brandon, you represent something very special. Unfortunately, in some senses, it's unique, but I believe it's changing. The clarion call is going out even now in the name of Jesus. And I believe, hallelujah, I'm just going to declare this because this is what I'm sensing in my spirit.
Amen.
That there is going to be, in particularly, there's going to be a lot of men and a lot of young men get a hold of this podcast. But people say, well, you know, I'm not a prayer. Okay. Well, Brandon, this is where you represent something that I think the Lord is doing. We're seeing a shift. Hallelujah. You're pioneering something in the name of Jesus. You are a young man. Are you in your 30s?
Yeah, 31.
31. Yeah. Jesus. Look how young he looks. By the way, you can watch us on Facebook and YouTube, our Grace for the City podcast Facebook page, Grace for the City podcast YouTube channel. Check it out. See his face on there if you're listening to us now. But you are a young man. You are young and you are a man, but yet you are hearing that call to prayer. And people tell me, I'll say, well, I'm just not called to prayer. And I say, wait, are you born again?
Right.
Because Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer, one. Two, Jesus is the head of the body, and the Bible says he forever makes intercession. Jesus is a prayer. He is a prayer himself.
Yes.
He is postured in the posture of prayer. And I think people come at this from the wrong perspective. I totally agree. I mean, that was what we saw growing up is, well, it's the older ladies that are praying.
Right.
You know, grandma prayed.
Yes.
But grandpa worked the farm.
Yes.
You know, grandma prayed. Grandpa, what was grandpa doing? I don't know. And then whoever was in the prayer meeting was mostly ladies or older ladies. But that is changing. I believe it's changing. We decree that's changing right now in the name of Jesus. And there is a prayer movement, not in the sense of because it's just something new, but a resurgence, a revival, if you will, that we're waking up to staying up with Jesus and staying up with him in prayer.
Exactly. And prayer, it's so vital and it's so necessary. You know, I meet people that maybe they want to be a prayer warrior to be used in ministry. And that's great. That's a great thing, you know, for you wanting to be used in ministry, be a prayer warrior. But what about just the day to day? You know, I spend time in prayer with the Lord as he's my number one, and a young man, you know, spending time in prayer. I do that for me, but also to lead my wife the way I'm called a leader, and to be a good example for my daughter. Good. And be example for the everyday things. Hmm. You know, I think it's always kind of funny. I meet people all the time, Pastor Justin, and they ask, what do I do? I say, I'm in full-time ministry. They go, what about your wife? Same thing.
Yeah.
You live in California. How do you do that? Just God. And I know he's called me, and I know what I'm doing what he's called me to do, and it's easy.
Yeah.
It might seem wild to you, crazy, but there's a grace, and it's easy for me. But... And then I meet people go, man, I wish I could do what you do. I wish I could I have so many things I can preach and so many things I can, have to sermons inside of me. And I just need the places to go. And I just want to do that. And I go, what about just spending time with Jesus?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's not just about being used in front of people, but it's you when no one else is looking.
Wow.
You having that time of prayer when no one else is looking. And it's for you. It's for your mind. Maybe you're listening and you're battling depression. You're battling anxiety. What do you do? What's the answer? It's praying. Mm. It's you getting by yourself, putting on your worship music and saying, Lord, I ask you, I need your strength. Wash me in your blood, Father. Cleanse me from anything I've done or said that wasn't of you. And you just start having that heart to heart. You start praying to the Lord. I thank you, Lord, for your strength. And it's not just to be used by people. It's not for people to see you. But it's just for you to be the best you can be. Mm-hmm. And it's being a person of prayer. Mm-hmm. And his strength. And you'll start noticing, even when you go on your day to day, you're praying unto the Lord and you're spending time with him. You're communing with him. And you're a different person. People will see it too. Like, wow, he doesn't get upset like everyone else. There's a lot of things going on, but he has a calm. He has a peace. He's happy all the time. He's not up and down. Why? Because you're a person of prayer. Not just for people to notice you preaching and not for you to be that guy on a Sunday morning, but every day for you to be that guy that, wow, that he's a true man of God. And you don't have to tell people.
Wow. The late, great Leonard Ravenhill made this statement concerning ministers. He said, if you're not praying, you're playing.
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah, and it's easy. Life is busy, lots to do. We have children, you have children. It's easy to default where you go to the place of prayer because you need something. I think most people view prayer as like, well, I need something.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
So in some senses, cases, it's a last resort. Whether you're in ministry or not. I mean, even for ministers, many times it's a last resort. They find themselves in the prayer closet begging.
Right.
Hallelujah. I have done that.
Yeah.
That's a long time ago. Praise God. Thank you. I'm free. But a lot of people find themselves defaulting to prayer only as a last resort, or it's so chaotic, it's so tumultuous, they feel like they've exhausted all of their options. Now I'm going to go to prayer. And hey, go to prayer. I mean, don't misunderstand me. Go to Jesus. Get into that place and commune with your Heavenly Father. I mean, if you're born again, go to that place. But what we're saying is, listen, God's calling us into a lifestyle. This is not just a fad, and it's not just a movement. You know, when we say there's a resurgence, we're not saying that, you know, this is some new thing. But, you know, I'm thinking of that scripture in Jeremiah chapter 6 where he says, look for the old ways. One translation says the ancient paths. And he said, there you'll find rest for your souls. But then it finishes out in that verse, I think it's 6:16, Jeremiah 6:16. They said, well, we don't want that way. Well, listen, friend, we've been telling you on the podcast, but, you know, hear what Brandon is saying too. Is God's calling you into that place. He's calling you into fellowship, into closeness, with communication with him, where there's a synchronization, a fellowship. We're just not going to him when we need something. And he's not coming to us just to use us. Like, there's relationship. There's a flow here. There's a intimacy with him as we are learning of his ways. Why do we pray? Because he prays. Why do we intercede? Because he intercedes. Why do we communicate and flow and conversation and fellowship and prayer in the Holy Ghost? It's because we're one. We're one.
We're one.
Not two.
Right.
One.
And just like what you said, Brother Leonard Ravenhill, if you're not praying, you're playing.
You're playing.
And there's, you know, it's sad to say, Pastor Justin, but there's a lot of people that are playing. And there's the results of people playing church, playing, they have a relationship with the Lord or fellowship with the Lord, and they really don't. And then you see how they really are. It's hurt a lot of people.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Because they're not praying, they're playing. And I meet so many people all the time. Oh, I used to, you know, serve God, but man, people hurt me. And I said, they did the same thing to Jesus. But it's the result of people not praying.
Well, their case is special.
Right. Their case is special. Like nothing's ever happened to any of us.
Yeah.
And we've never faced persecution.
Right.
But it's easy to see people when they've walked through it, and you see them at that meeting and you go, wow, yeah, you never faced anything. But they don't see the behind the scene things. They don't see pressure. They don't see what I would do, what people do when they face those certain things. It's but it's being having a lifestyle of prayer. even when me spending time praying every day, I never, it might sound funny, I do have a list. We, you know, we believe God for things, but I never asked the Lord for anything.
Hallelujah.
I never have.
He supplies.
He supplies. Don't have any wants.
Hallelujah. Just he said time, we shall not want.
We shall not want.
Hallelujah.
So it's the result, people getting hurt, even Christians getting hurt, is because if you're, I really truly believe, if you're full of prayer and if you're having that communion, that fellowship with the Lord, you won't let things bother you. They might try, but when they try and you can feel it trying to come on, that's when you get back into prayer. Spending time and communicating with the Lord. And I want to say this, everyone's prayer might be different. It might, you know, I grew up with a family of prayers, of intercessors, and I would always, you know, compare myself to them. It never really looked like them. Even Miss Leanne, you know, she's really close with her. She's so sweet. And she would always impart into me. You know, I would go to her meetings, and I didn't even know. I was really just navigating. I was like, God, what am I called to do? I didn't really know what to do. And I would go there, and my sister would trick me to go. She would trick me. She would go, please come to this prayer school.
That's funny.
And yeah, and I thought it'd be like 10 ladies. And I was like, okay, I'll go. And I went, and there's like 200 to 300 people.
Wow. Wow.
And I was, Pastor Justin, I was doing things I shouldn't be doing. I was not praying, but I was playing.
Right.
I was lukewarm.
Sure.
And I go into that prayer meeting, and they're singing this worship song, and I'm listening, and I felt that thing. I felt everything I was battling, all these walls I had up, all these hurts, because I had hurts from people, from Christians, whatever. I just thought, oh, you know what? They're all fake. And I'm there, and I just felt the anointing of God. And I wept. I was weeping. It totally caught me off guard. I didn't know I was going to a service like that.
Wow.
And people, some of my family were there, and they go, man, maybe he's called to go to this prayer school. No, it was the anointing of God. And then she would, I would talk to Miss Leanne, and then she would say, I want you to come down here and share and speak. I don't know what to share and speak, but she, she was pulling that out of me.
Yeah.
And that impartation in my prayer, it might look different than everybody else. It might not look like your grandma's, how she prayed, or the people at the church, but you have your own style of prayer. It might be similar. I remember one time I was at a service. There was like a lot of people there. They're worshiping God, and I was just standing there. I felt the Holy Spirit saying, Brandon, I want you to worship me. I want you to raise your hands. I want you to jump up like those kids. And I literally said out loud, why, God? You have all them. Look, you have 5,000 kids worshiping you. I just want to stand here. He goes, no, I want your worship.
Wow.
I want your worship. Wow. No one worships me the way you worship me. No one prays to me the way you pray to me. It's all special to God. And you spending time with the Lord, you might say, I'm not a good prayer. Hey, you keep at it. You keep praying. You keep having that time. And it's so special to the Lord, because no one prays to him the way you pray to him. And I think we don't go to comparing it to ourselves to other people, but we have our style, and we'll learn from people, and we'll get a hunger. When I hear people talk about praying, and I hear you talking, and I go to meetings, I'll get such a hunger for it. I'll say, oh, when I get home, I'm going to stay up till 3 a.m. and pray.
Pray, yes.
But I believe that's happening right now. A hunger.
Yeah.
For prayer.
That's it.
A hunger for fellowship with the Lord, that you have a special, you're so special to the Lord, and for you to step into it. Maybe someone's listening, you've had your family that been praying, and you just never felt like that was your thing. But I believe from right now, first of all, it's not just their thing, it's God's thing.
That's it.
And he is calling you to have that time of prayer with him.
Hallelujah.
And we'll know what's going on. We won't be scared when everyone else is scared. When you're a person of prayer, you won't be fearful. Even these times that we're living in, unprecedented times, you won't have fear. Because we're people of prayer. We know, you know, it says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. You can't have 1% fear, 2% fear. Why? Because God never gave you that. And even when these times, you turn on the news and there's fear, there's you're going to get this, you're going to get that. No, we have no fear. But the result of that is because we're people of prayer. It's not going to just happen. We living that lifestyle of people of prayer, and God will use you to help other people. Just the other day, I had a friend call me, and I've never we're close, but not that close. And real tough guy and construction worker in California. He called me. He's probably in his maybe 37, 38 years old. He has a family. Great guy. He called me and he was weeping on the phone. And I, first of all, I was like, wonder why he's calling me. So I pick it up. He's weeping. I said, why are you weeping? He said, my couple of people in my family, my dad got the COVID.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And my mom. And he's just weeping and weeping and weeping. And I said, hey, there's nothing to fear. We believe the word of God. You believe what the word of God says, right? By his stripes, yeah. Your parents are healed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have no fear. And now they're completely perfect, whole. Mm-hmm. So God will use us to help other people. Mm-hmm. What if we didn't have that time of prayer? What if we didn't have that time of fellowship with the Lord? We're all afraid. We're all scared. And I'm fearful. I'm watching the news all the time. And he calls and he's crying and I'm like, I start crying and say, yeah, it's going to be really bad.
It's over.
I can't believe he got it. But as people of prayer, hallelujah. We'll know what the Holy Spirit is saying.
We'll know.
Yes. That's so good. Mm. We'll know.
Hallelujah. Brennan, you are you are a great minister. You travel around.
Yes.
You and your wife, you guys are ministering. I mean, you're even in the nations.
Yes.
But You don't, speaking of this just a little bit more, I mean, like what you, and I know you, so I mean, what you're saying is legit. You go into that place of prayer, your ministry comes out of that.
Yeah.
Like really, I mean, your ministry is coming out of that place of prayer. Everyone's ministry should come out of the place of prayer. But you're not just going to prayer because you've got to go somewhere and speak. And, oh, Lord, help me. Obviously, yeah. You say, Lord, what do you want to say? But really, y'all's ministry, as everyone should, is coming out of the place of prayer. I mean, would you
agree? Oh, 100%. 100%. And it started where, you know, Jesus has to become our number one. Mm-hmm. And
that reminds me of the song.
Yeah.
You're my number one.
You're my number one.
With the lemonade.
Yeah. You're my number one.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. Chick-fil-A. Come on, Chick-fil-A. Somebody. Come on, somebody.
Can I get a witness? So
Jezebel don't have a chance.
Yeah. Jezebel don't even stand a chance.
Okay. I'm going to listen to that song later. All right. Back. And we're back.
So, you know, he becomes our number one, not just for ministry purposes, but just for our lifestyle. You know, they asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandments? And that's kind of like a trick question, you know, because, and this is what he says, first is love God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And then the second one is love your neighbor as yourself. Mm. If you do that, you're not going to steal from your neighbor. You're not going to kill people. You're not going to, you're not going to lie. Mm. But Jesus, number one is loving God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. I meet so many people, they're always going out. They're loving people. What can I do? Feed the people.
Oh, that's good. Wow.
Take care of their needs. But it doesn't go like that. It's not, the first one is not love people and then love God. No, it's love God with all thy heart, with all thy soul.
First.
So it goes like this. Goes up and then out. Mm-hmm. So many people are out. Help. I'm here. Oh yeah, pastor's here. I'm here. Ministers here. Let me pray for you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's none of this going on as much as it should be. And that's the result of a burnt out Christian.
Wow. Yeah.
Giving more than they're taking in.
Yeah. Wow.
And I saw that scripture and I just fell in love with Jesus. You know, he became my everything. And I don't look to people. Mm-hmm. I don't look to people to meet my need. I don't look to meetings to meet my need. I look to him and I have such a trust in that. And it started me in a small trailer in California. Just met destiny. I knew I felt led to move out there, living in this small trailer. The AC never worked. It was super hot. My mind was telling me, Pastor Justin, go back home. I was traveling at the time with my grandma, staying at grandmother, staying 5-star hotels.
You had it made, didn't you?
I had it made. What people would long to go to do.
Yeah.
I was getting paid for it. Now I'm in this.
God, what? And you're leading me to a trailer in California with no AC?
Exactly.
Get behind me, Satan.
That's exactly what I wanted.
People are. That's why they miss it.
Yeah. Okay. And I knew, you know, not going by what my mind was saying, how I was feeling, but I was just checking with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Inside, I had a peace. Brandon, this is what I've called you to do. Mm-hmm. So in that season, man, I was just, no one knows what I'm doing. I felt the pressure of I'm going to be marrying this girl soon. How am I going to provide for her, her family? I'm living on her family's property at this trailer. All these things are against me. Doesn't look very promising.
Yeah.
And my mind's saying you should go back. You could travel with your grandmother if destiny wants. If your wife wants to move with you there, that's perfect. But I was in that place and I was crying out to God. God, I thank you, Holy Spirit. You are leading me. Thank you for the fire of the Holy Spirit burn inside of me. And just having that prayer and just praying hours a day. And out of that, you know, I had Brandon plans. I had some things lined up that I wanted to do, maybe for a career. And I went to a couple interviews, but I knew it wasn't God. And God was calling me in that season, just seeking him, just having that hunger for him. And out of that, ministry happened. Places for me to preach happened. I remember one morning I would get up early and I was up like at 5 in the morning and I was at the gym working out. There was times I would hardly work out. I'd just be praying in the spirit, listening to a message, and then I'd work out some. But I remember I was listening hours a day to Kenneth Hagin, and I was praying in the spirit and trusting God. And I knew the Lord had called me, and I could feel it just weighing on me. And I cried out. I said, God, I know you called me to preach, but I don't have a message to preach. And even if I did have a message, I don't like to talk in front of people. I was looking at my own abilities. I don't have a message to preach. I feel like I don't know the word of God like I should. And all the enemy was just bombarding me with everything.
Wow.
You don't know as much as your grandmother. You don't know this book of the Bible, and it's always this constant, like, how the enemy works.
Yeah.
And I heard, Brandon, I'll give you the message and I'll preach it through you. Wow. So there in that place, he gave me a message, and I started studying it, and I'd preach it to myself every night in front of the mirror.
Wow.
God, you called me, and I was excited. I was excited to do it.
You guys hearing this? This is real, real talk, folks.
Real talk. I was excited to do it. Mm-hmm. And I never really tell people this. The Lord told me, he said, Brandon, every time you preach, I want you to bleed me for an offering. Wow. And I preached by myself.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. In front of a mirror.
I just heard that. I mean, I heard what you just said, Brandon. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Okay.
And people would start sowing into my grandmother's ministry. No one knows what I'm doing. My grandma's not writing letters telling people what I'm doing. But the Holy Spirit is speaking to people. And the Holy Spirit is saying, hey, give this to Billy Brim Ministries, but earmark it for Brandon.
Hold on, Brandon. I'm sorry. I just, wow. I don't know if you heard what he said, what the Holy Spirit just said. Every time you preach, believe me, for an offering.
Yeah.
So you would preach by yourself.
By myself, in front of the mirror.
Listen. That's the Holy Ghost right there. Man. Hallelujah. Ministry, you know, there's a strategy against ministers. Okay, listen, and a lot of ministers right now, and I don't know who's listening or watching. I haven't even pulled up the feed, but listen, if you start to compromise, you're going to get yourself in trouble. And if you compromise for a platform, if you compromise for a place or a schedule or a location, listen, if you compromise any at all, what you compromise to keep, you're going to end up losing. And dude, the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, thank you, Father. I just heard something for me, but listen, he will provide for you. Believe him for an offering every time you preach. You don't have to compromise to get to that place or that location. You don't have to pester that church. You do what you're called to do and believe God to provide an offering every time you preach, even if that means you've got to get up in front of the mirror by yourself. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Brandon, that...
He's our father.
Ah, boy, that just lit up in my spirit, brother.
Yeah.
Okay.
It lit up in my
hallelujah.
It lit up in mine, and like, I never.
Did you say what I thought you said?
Yes. Yeah. Every time.
That's what I heard. Holy Ghost.
Yeah. Every time you preach, believe me for an offering.
All right.
Hallelujah. And it happened.
Yes, I believe that.
It happened because people started giving
into my
grandmother's, the Billy Brim Ministries accountant would call me, say, hey,
someone gave to you
$500. I'm like, praise God, someone gave to you $3,000.
Yes.
So we started.
Wow. Thank you, Lord.
That 1 year of doing that, every time I'd be preaching, I'd believe God for an offering. After I'd preach, I'd say, Lord, I thank you, Lord. I heard what you said. I thank you, Lord. You're my provider. You meet my needs, not anyone else, not looking at anyone else. But I know what you told me. And I thank you, Lord. You're speaking to people to be a part of this, to sow into what you called me to do. And by that years in, Pastor Justin, we started doing the numbers. I started doing the numbers myself of how much money came in when I was working full time with my grandmother, traveling with her. And I saw how much I made. Then I looked up that year, me in the trailer, preaching to myself every night. Was there opportunity to get discouraged?
Sure.
Yeah, of course. Was it, no one's watching you? Hey, no one's watching, but hey, the Holy Spirit's speaking through you. God's watching you. The word, he says, his word never returns
void.
Never
returns.
So.
He watches over it.
He watches over
to perform it.
And I would,
hallelujah.
And I would have some powerful times. I'd be preaching, and it was for me. It wasn't just me preaching. It was the Holy Spirit flowing through me. It was His comfort. I would preach, and I'd feel such a peace after I was done. I'd feel His anointing. I'd go to sleep. But we started looking at the numbers, and of me preaching to myself, believing God for an offering, what the Holy Spirit said to me. It was three times. I made three times the amount I did from working full time.
Yeah. No compromise.
No compromise.
Hallelujah.
So it made me look at things differently. Yeah. It made me say, you know what? Like David in the field, not trying to be the king, worshiping the king. And it said, God found David. Spoke to Samuel. Go. The next king is in Jesse's house. All the brothers came. They looked like the king.
They didn't even invite him out.
They didn't invite him out. Overlooked. You might feel like you're overlooked, but God does never overlook you.
Wow.
You might feel like you're in the field. Everyone else is before Samuel. Hey, but God never overlooks you. He sees your heart. He sees your heart. That's one of my prayers. God, my heart. I want my heart to be so pure. I want it to be so tender.
Hallelujah.
Soft towards you. Hallelujah. I don't want to be talking bad about anyone. I don't want people that have done things. I don't want that to affect me.
Yeah.
Because my heart's after you, and I know you see my heart. So God found him, and David's not trying to be the king. He's worshiping the king. And it says, you know, how he anointed him with the horn of oil, symbolic of the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
So from that time and being in the trailer, trusting God, preaching and believing God for an offering every time I preached, seeing God meet our needs over and above. I always believe I don't have to invite myself to preach at places. I don't have to sell myself. And I've been
That's it. Wow.
And I've been to so many places and I've seen that. And everyone's competing. And it takes us being a person of prayer. Maybe you're a person that would compete with other people. Well, you being a person of prayer, you knowing God's love for you, spending time with Him, it goes from competing with people to completing people.
Oh, man. Yeah. Wow.
What can I do to help them?
Yeah.
Well, if they're talking about themselves, their ministry, why don't you add to it? Why don't you say, you know what? Yeah, that is great. God has anointed you. Instead of you feeling that, oh, yeah, well, God's called me to do this. And every time I preach, believe or not, no, forget
look
that.
Look at what he's done in my life.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
I believe that he, what God has called us to do, he will perform it. Not saying we have don't have to do anything. Not saying that. But I'm saying our we don't have to look to man. Mm-hmm. We know what the Holy Spirit's saying. We do what he's tells us to do. We strategize. We do whatever. But we know God sees it and God is taking care of us. Mm-hmm. And we've seen that. And we've seen, you know, pastor saying, I was praying. The Lord showed me your face. I was, I want you to come to my church. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm sometimes surrounded by people always competing and talking about this, their business card. And I'm just there and I'm saying, Lord, you know me. You see where I'm at. And I have my faith in you and I have my trust in you. I don't have to try to make it happen. I don't want to be having all this effort, but I enter into that rest. And I know God, I saw you do it when no one saw me and I was preaching. How you spoke and you gave me offerings. And I just... trust him. Very simplistic, you know.
Oh, hallelujah. We, you know, Brandon, we've been believing for an increase in the spirit of seeing and knowing.
Yes.
And what you just said, that's part of that.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Receive that. That's how things work in the spirit.
Yeah.
Brother, that is so good.
And being hallelujah. You know, I've been thinking, when I drove out to California, I had a little car, and it barely made it out there. Mm-hmm. And just, we drove from California back to Arkansas area, where my family lives, Missouri. And we have a...
Hey, some of your family is in Arkansas, brother.
Exactly. I know. I'm an Arkansas guy now.
Boom!
Boom! I love Arkansas. And we have a brand new car.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Nice car.
Yes.
And how the Lord, I'm like, wow, God, you're so good.
Yeah, yeah.
You're yeah. How did this happen? I was just thinking.
He takes care of us.
He takes care of us. He wants to take care of you. Mm-hmm. He wants you to drive a nice car. He wants you to be wearing nice clothes. He wants to take care of you. Mm-hmm. But we can't look at man to do it.
Brandon, on that right there, you know, God will give us the desires of our heart. And, There's two ways to get things. You can toil for it.
Yeah.
You can go out there. You can sell yourself. You can cheat. You can lie. You can connive. You can get your priorities messed up and spend money in areas you don't need to spend.
Yeah.
There's ways to get things like that. Or you can allow the Lord to do it. And I remember Brother Hagin, Jesus appeared to him several times. One of the times Jesus appeared to Kenneth Hagin, he was dealing or talking to him about things. And he said, Jesus said this. He said, I'm not opposed to my people having nice things. He said, I'm opposed to my people being covetous. And man, Brandon, dude, we have similar stories in this sense is, you know, we had things that we were like, hey, you know, it'd be nice to have. But, you know, we had to do things the Lord's way and maybe, you know, for a season, not let the thing have us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You just kind of cast the care. And then how the Lord brought it around. Hallelujah. God is good like that. If we'll trust him. You know, see, I think a lot of people think, oh, well, you know, I'm doing things like this. I'll never have that nice car. I'll never have that nice home. Or I won't be able to do this or be able to do that or Lord bless this. No, 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 no. You trust him. Yeah. Trust him. Don't get into covetous. Don't toil for stuff. Get in that rest. God will provide. Hallelujah. Brother Copeland said this, that the Lord was ministering to him. The Lord said, I have a million ways to get $1 million to you.
Wow.
And you can't think of three. God's got a way, man. Of That's just so good. If we'll just yield to him, God will bless us. Just trust God, folks. Do it his way. Don't let the stuff have you. Let Jesus have you, and he'll bless you. And it's not about the stuff at the end of the day.
Right.
But I tell you, it's a whole lot nicer to drive back from California in a nice car.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And he is our provider.
Yeah. And that's been real
yeah.
for y'all.
Yes. Especially in this, you could say pandemic time.
Yeah.
You know, meetings being canceled, and your mind could say, what about, how's this going to work? But hey, we trust the Lord. We don't put our faith in meetings. It doesn't say, but all meetings will supply all your needs.
Right.
But our God will supply all of our needs. So we did that, and we saw breakthrough after breakthrough.
Wow.
And it's taken the word of God, saying this word of God is true. You watch over us. You're looking out for us. Meetings, even my mind wanted to go there. Meetings don't provide my needs. God provides my needs.
Yeah.
And we saw that over and over. He's so good.
Brennan, would you agree that we don't pray for the ministry? The ministry is prayer.
Yeah.
I mean, really, at the end of the day, because people say, oh, I wish I could be like Brandon. You know, oh, yeah, well, that's nice. That's cool. He's in full-time ministry. I work a job or whatever.
Right.
But that's because they have their eyes on the wrong thing. We've categorized what ministry really is. When really, and I personally believe this, that really the ministry is prayer.
Exactly.
Prayer is the ministry.
Exactly.
So it doesn't matter if you do what you're doing or they're doing what I'm doing. Out of our relationship with the Lord, he's begun to define our work. By the way, he does that. John 4 gives us the revelation. Jesus is the one that assigns our work. He said, so good. I've placed you. And then he said, some I've called to sow, some I've called to reap. Right there we see Jesus is the one that defines the parameters of our work. He's the one that assigns the plow, if you will. Okay, that's John 4. And right here, 38, he said, I sent you to reap. Others have labored, meaning he has orchestrated what our work is. But I'm telling you, if you want to be in the ministry is prayer. And out of that, Jesus will begin to define and orchestrate then where you are located, where you are placed. Of course, we see in 1 Corinthians 12, he places those in the body as he wills. And so Brandon is doing a particular thing. I'm doing a particular thing. But all this started because we yielded ourselves to the head of the body of the Lord Jesus. We gave ourselves to fellowshipping, communing with him. We call it prayer. You know, prayer is such a little word, but it's so profound, okay? And I know a lot of people have, you know, put it in a box, but we've yielded ourselves to a prayer. Out of that comes the actual, our outworking or our function in the kingdom. But if you're watching or listening now and you say, oh, man, I wish I could do what Brandon does, and, you know, and he's so blessed because he's what? He's what? He's blessed because he's what? He's blessed because he has given himself to serve his king. And out of that, the king says, go here, do that, be here, do this, say this, call them, go there. The same thing can happen for you, friend. Maybe God's particular orchestration involves what people say is a job. Listen, I took that word out of my vocabulary a long time ago. The Bible says if a man doesn't work, I just want to know my kingdom work. I'm in fellowship with the king. What do you want me to do for you? If he says go over here then and do that, if he says go to NASA, we go to NASA. If he says be a stay-at-home mom and homeschool your kids, we do that. If he says go over here and I want you to get you know, and people say a job. No, but he said I want you to work here. Maybe it's at Walmart or maybe it's this or that, whatever. You say, well, man, Brandon's blessed. No, he's blessed because he's obedient. He's blessed because out of that fellowship with the Lord Jesus, he's getting his work assignment. And so, you know, we just want to encourage people that really the start place is in that communion, that fellowship, yes, that place of prayer with him. Everything we do has come out of that or should.
Exactly. And people will see it. You know, so many times they talk about working out. When you work out, you don't work out to see results. You just work out because you want to be healthy, you want to build muscle. But so many people get discouraged. You know, January, all these people, thousands of people, probably millions, they join health club gyms.
But
by March, they're not there.
Yeah.
Why? Because they get discouraged. They don't maybe see the results they thought they would see.
Wow.
And that's so many, even with me, there was times where I didn't feel like I was getting results. Having that time of prayer, no one's watching me, having that fellowship with the Lord, that commune with God, praying, Lord, I thank you for everything you're doing, and just praying in the Spirit and all that. And it didn't look like there was fruit to it. But then I started to know, I know there is fruit. I'm changing. God's mm-hmm. doing things, and I would have a joy. And they always say with working out, the first month, only you will be able to tell the difference. And then after the second month, people around you will tell the difference.
Wow.
So it's so many times I feel like people get discouraged because they're not seeing the results. They're not seeing the fruit. And it's not about that. But as you spend time in prayer, people might see some fruit now of me, what God's doing and different things, but they don't see the root of it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Our root has to be people of prayer, a lifestyle of prayer. Jesus is our number one. And out of that, that's where the fruit grows.
Mm-hmm.
That's the intimacy with him in prayer. The fruit will start going and people will start seeing it on you. And it's not because of what you've done as a person or who you've met or this. It's because if you look, it's our foundation. He's our foundation. Mm-hmm. And out of that, everything else comes.
Hallelujah. Hey, one thing I want you to talk a little bit about, you know, the Lord specifically, y'all are in California.
Yes.
And, but specifically, the Lord has said, hey, I want you to start a prayer meeting. Jump into that a little bit. Tell us kind of, you know, what do you see the Lord, you know, saying, you know, what was the Lord saying? Tell us a little bit of how that's going to work and just how the Lord's using you in that way right now in this season.
Yes, I'd be honored. You know, I felt, you know, I went out to California and I'm living there and still live there. But, you know, naturally speaking, I like the Ozarks. I like Arkansas mm-hmm. area. But I know God has called me for California.
Yeah.
So even you might have that. I might have that temptation or whatever. No, I know God's called me to California, and I'm excited to do what he's called me to do. And then I've been there for quite a few years living there. And I'm a person, I like to study the old moves of God. Mm. Revivals, you know, William Seymour, all the different ones God's used. And mm-hmm. and I know that area, God has really used that area mm-hmm. to not mm-hmm. just impact the nation, but the world with yep. Azusa Street Azusa Revival. Street,
yep.
And the move of God. So I'm always, you know, studying and praying and looking. And I'm always, I see a lot of wild and crazy stuff in California. You can yeah. imagine, but I'm always crying out to God. God, we need a revival, not just a revival. We need an awakening. I don't want to be like every other minister. I want to be walking in the anointing, the presence of God. When I talk, I want you, Holy Spirit, to touch their hearts, like you touched my hearts. And I want people to be changed. I want people to be on fire for you. And and being a person of, you know, having that heart to be a person of prayer. And even though I feel like, you know, there's so many other people that are way better, and I'm, you know, but I have a hunger for it. Mm-hmm. And I know the Lord was, I felt that the Lord was calling me to start something mm. like a prayer, not just church or services where, you know, the pastor gets up and, you know, you can say have their messages, but just having a time where you get up and just a prayer meeting and praying specifically for California and talking about the moves of God and talking about what God has done there. And you just keep bringing it up and then talk about the fire of the Holy Spirit and the anointing of God. And I felt that, and I was just, Lord, I think you show me how to do it. And I know that it was to have a place there in California, but also having it live streamed all across the world.
Okay.
For other prayers, people listening right now, for all of you to watch. Mm-hmm. And as we all pray, we are praying specifically for California.
Wow.
And there'll be a power in that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I would have people, before I even decided to do this, I would go to services and I'd be in the back there in the green room, and ministers, men of God would say, you need to start something. They would start picking mm-hmm. up on it. You need to start something. You need to start a prayer group.
Wow.
And I would say yes, yes, but I knew it'd be the right time. So we're launching out. We're gonna do that. And I was just sharing at a meeting very recently, and I was about to close, and it just came out of my heart, me talking about this prayer meeting. And my grandmother got up and said, "This is God." She goes, "Our ministry started in California."
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
She talked about her going out there renting this. At the convention center, renting this room. They had no money, but the Lord told her to get by Azusa Street as close as you can, bring in John G. Lake's daughter, bring in all these people of prayers, people that no one knew their names. But let me tell you, God knew their names. People of power. That meeting was really Holy Spirit. The place was on fire. The fire department came. Hey, no, it wasn't natural fire. It was a fire of the Lord. People getting saved. People that weren't even at the meeting downstairs. Thousands of kids run up and get saved. Hey, there's a power that's pulling me.
Wow.
And she, and that's how everything launched, her ministry. But she said, I know, Brandon, what she got up and said, I'm going to go to the first one. We're going to launch it. She said, I know I'm a part. This is a, this is like a continuation of this.
Oh, hallelujah. It's a synergy of the ages.
Yes.
Wow.
I'm excited. And it's going to change. And I believe as it starts there in California, you know, the darker it is, the brighter we shine. Mm-hmm. We go to some dark places, but we are not in the dark business. We're in the light business.
That's right.
And when you're in the dark situations, that's when your light shines the brightest.
The light was designed specifically to dispel darkness.
Yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, there's no dark switch. Darkness is the result of the absence of light.
Wow.
Light
yeah.
can go back into a space. You know, you turn the light switch on in a room, it's going to overwhelm the darkness.
Yes.
Somebody just had to go, Brandon, and flip the switch back on.
Yeah.
Dark, the prevailing darkness, because somebody turned the switch off.
That's so good.
So praise God, man. So what when's the first one? I mean, do you have scheduled?
We're shooting for September.
Okay. This year.
Yeah, this year.
2020.
2020.
Hallelujah.
So we're getting all set up, and so September.
Okay.
So we don't have the specific day yet, but we're still praying about when. And
hallelujah.
So we're excited. And people, you know what's God when people get behind it? And it was like a fresh fire, really. I'm having people contact me and saying, we're part of this. We're part of this. We're part of this.
Yeah.
And it went from me, you know, living in California, traveling out, preaching at churches. You know, people, I'd hear pastors always bash, you know, I can't believe you live there, this and that. But it's like everyone's like, you know what? We are going to, California's going to be touched by a mighty move of God.
Yes.
I want to share Hallelujah. This. I want to share this story real quick.
Yeah.
I was just recently, I was sharing about this, California, how God had me there, and California with revival and this prayer. God's going to do it again. Called me to have this prayer meeting. This lady was there. After the meeting was over, she came and talked to me. Her and her husband, they're pastors of Michigan, very well respected. And she was shocked. She said, I have a lot of someone I'm really close with. Her and her husband, they're big time actors in LA, very, very well known, have a big following. And they told me, I was just on the phone with them, and they told me, we feel discouraged here. What California needs is a revival, needs a move of God. And she goes, I come to this service. We're on vacation, but I come to this service and I hear you sharing about it. She's all excited. So she got my number down and she called me. And she told me, she goes, Brandon, these people are celebrity of influence. And they literally have all these celebrities that go to their house and they don't know what to do. They just want more of God. Mm. And they've been telling me, hey, we need you to come out here and share about the Lord to them. We need you to come and speak to them. And she said, Brandon, I never felt like it was me. So she goes, after I met you and after you, I heard you share, I called them and said, I found the guy.
Wow. Brandon.
So they're so excited. So when I go back there, I'm going to meet with these people.
Okay. Yeah. Hallelujah.
People. She goes, people know their names, but they don't know. They're searching for something.
Yeah.
I want to say this. Some people are searching and looking for something that you and I carry. We carry him. So that's exciting.
It's exciting. Wow. 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 You know, I just heard somebody the other day, the same thing in a different genre here, but this guy knows people that are in like the CIA and the FBI.
Yeah.
You know, I think people are looking at the CIA and the FBI and government agencies the same way they're looking at California.
Right.
Real negative.
Exactly.
But he said there are people, they're born again, they're in there, they feel like, you know, people aren't even praying for them. You know, a lot of times we think, God, you know, are you in the FBI? Are you in the CIA? Are you in Hollywood? Are you there? Where are you? And there are people there that know the Lord, but they're crying out for help. They're wanting more. And he was saying that there's people in the FBI and the CIA and some of these other agencies that are getting, you know, a lot of negative press. But he said they're praying in tongues every day, asking God, what do we do? What do we do? What do you want done?
Wow.
And so, you know, it's a different, but the same thing is going on. There are people there in Hollywood that are coming to know the Lord.
Yes.
They're coming to know the Lord. And there's going to be a breakout. One of our guys here, one of our pastors, had a dream several years ago. And what he saw was this underground, like a volcano, but it represented the prayer movement, the prayers. And there was such heat and a fire. And then suddenly it erupted. And when this volcano erupted and the embers and everything just, you know, shot up in the air and then came down on the landscape. And when it hit the landscape, it caused what looked like this tumultuous, you know, experience. But the landscape was being reset as a result of this fire that had come down on top of it. And so, you know, when we looked at that dream and, you know, sought for the prophetic implications, God's doing something in the prayer movement through the prayers. Listen, your prayers are erupting on the scene, and the fire and what God's doing through the prayer movement and those who have yielded themselves to just simply pray, because the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, is a prayer himself. He is praying. But there's an eruption going to take place. And then when that fire comes back down on the landscape, Brandon, when that move erupts, it's already rumbling. I mean, he's putting the players in the right spots.
Amen.
But that there's going to be a reset.
Wow.
Come on, Hollywood's going to be reset.
Reset.
It's going to be reset. By the way, 2020 is prophetically being titled the year of the reset.
Wow.
There's going to be a reset. And so, you know, just speaking into what you're doing there, God is there's going to be an eruption. And when the fire hits the landscape, it's going to be a reset. Things are going to be shifted and turned. Listen, there's still, I mean, in government agencies, come on, in Hollywood, I mean, there's all this nefarious things going on. Sure, because the world is dark, but he said, you are the light of the world. Don't hide it under a bushel. Go to a dark space. Go. I mean, this is what we were designed to do. Light is uniquely designed to go to a dark space. And hallelujah. Well, Brandon, we just hook up in the name of Jesus. We agree something's happening.
Amen.
Something's happening. And hey, real quick, I Miranda told me that you'd shared that Hollywood was actually called something else, right?
Yeah, it was called Hollywood. Before it was called Hollywood.
Listen to this.
It was called Hollywood. And I read this book. You can't get this book. And it was, it's all about California. It's like Gold, Glory, in California. That was the name of the book. And it just shares stories of people, prayers. And they would walk the Hollywood Hills and pray and intercede. And they developed, they started this community, they started this city, and they called it Hollywood. And they dedicated it to God. Wow. They were only Christians that lived there. Prayers. A place for the Lord. They were the first people that established this community. Only Christians, born again, people of prayer. They would pray and walk the hills. They called it Hollywood because they wanted to be like a holy place. And they met, the first movie ever produced out of Hollywood was a Christian film.
Wow.
That was the first movie. And it made such impact, the world saw the impact and the voice that it had through the film industry, and they took it over. But let me tell you, we are taking it back.
Yeah.
I walked the hills, and I would see all these hills, and I would think of all the people praying. Mm-hmm. And those, you know, we talk about those prayers. They don't just go away.
Right.
They're not just gone. No, they're still here.
Yeah. Yeah.
And us hooking me, that's all I'm doing. I'm just there. It's not about me. It's not about a man's movement. It's me hooking up my prayers for what they said about Hollywood. It's me hooking up with all the prayers they prayed. It's me what's gone before at the Azusa Street and Amy Simple McPherson and saying, God, you are doing it again.
Yeah. Hallelujah. He's doing it again. Praise the Lord. Brandon, the last couple minutes here, you got any closing thoughts here? Something on your heart you just want to share, or just close us out in prayer?
I feel like the Lord's calling all of us to be people of prayer. And we are in the last days. Jesus is coming so, so soon. And he doesn't want you bound up with anything. Depression, anxiety, what your family thinks about you, or even your own, you not even thinking you're good enough. None of that. That all has to go. But he's calling you to be a person of prayer like never before. And he wants to use your life for his glory. So I pray as right now in the name of Jesus, Pastor Justin and I, we thank you, Lord. It's no coincidence you're listening, you're watching. But God is going to do some extraordinary things with your life. And even his love for you, that you will know his love for you, that he is for you and not against you. Your past is your past, but God has a bright future for you. You are no accident. God has planned your life before the foundation of the world. He has you in this time for this moment. So I thank you, Lord, that they will know your love. I thank you for the Holy Spirit speaking to people's hearts, the precious anointing of the Lord, and the fire of God to burn inside of them, that they will be people of prayer, that they'll be people of prayer, that you, Lord, will become their everything, that they're everything, and you'll teach them,
Jesus.
And they'll have that fellowship with you. And even things that they, even dreams in their hearts, desires in their hearts that they've even put on a shelf, that I believe, Holy Spirit, right now, you are blowing on those dreams. You are blowing on those desires, and they will come forth in Jesus' name. I thank you for your healing power, God, touching people's lives from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. Every bit of fear leaving in Jesus' mighty name. God wants to use you like never before.
Hallelujah.
He has no favorites. It's not just people on the TV preaching with a microphone. No, God has called you not to do just ordinary things, but extraordinary things. And it won't be you, it won't be your abilities, but it'll be his abilities and you yielding yourself to the Holy Spirit in this hour like never before.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brandon, how can people get in touch with what you guys are doing? Where can they follow you, reach out to you, share with us some contact info here?
Yeah, we have our website. It's hisnameministries.com. So hisnameministries.com. Instagram, Brandon Brim, Branden Brim. Facebook, same thing. Let us know. We have email, message us, whatever you want to do.
Awesome. Hey, well, thank you for tuning in today. This has been the Grace for This City podcast. Our special guest, Brandon Brim, His Name Ministries. Check them out. Find out what they're doing. Get involved in that meeting coming up in California. Listen, a divine reset for California. Hallelujah. Plug in with what they're doing. Thank you for tuning in. Hey, if we've blessed you, encouraged you, and strengthened you in any way, hey, let us know. Send us an email at hello@gracecitychurch.tv. That's hello@gracecitychurch.tv, or give us a call. We'd love to take your phone call, 870-741-9099. Hey, until next time, friend, get out there and get some stuff done for your King. See you next time.